to be with you this morning. It's been a while.
Sure, thanks.
I'm actually not remembering at the moment how long it's been. 2 or 3 years, anyway. My name is John, and it's good to be with you again. Trusting that God is blessing you here at West LA. It's really privileged to be back again. Thank you, Pastor Brian, for the opportunity to share. My primary purpose here is to really encourage you. You know, as God's Word reminds us of the importance of taking the good news of Jesus Christ out to our community and into our world. And I was just looking at the song we just sang. There's a verse here, it says, "You're sending us out light in this broken land." And really, that's what God has called us to do. Not simply to hang out together, although that's an important part of our Christian life, but really we're called to be a part of the Great Commission, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in the world. And so one of the things that I want to encourage you to think about is, where is it that God might want you to share the good news? Maybe at your school, maybe with your family, maybe in your community, or maybe even in South America. I'm the South America guy, so that's why I'm here. So I'd like to roll a little video for you and to kind of show you what things look like in South America. Sometimes people have no idea. They think jungles, they think Indians, they think all kinds of interesting things about what South America looks like. But our work at GEMS is primarily among the Nikkei or the Japanese and other communities. And so I'd like to show you what that looks like. We're coming into the heart of Sao Paulo. Yeah? Yes? No?
Yes, I guess so.
This is like the Paraíso section, coming out, Libertad Paraíso. Não, fala de novo o seu nome.
Eu sou a Mai e essa aqui é a Priscila.
Mai.
Oi, essa Priscila. Priscila, essa aqui é a Rebeca.
Rebeca.
Eu sou a Rebeca, essa aqui é a Rafa.
Essa não me ajuda.
Thank you.
the well-known parixada. So included in the parixada is intestines, xiangtao, their organs of what?
You know, as you can see kind of obliquely through the video, is that South America is about people. You know, you saw, you know, a few statues or maybe you saw some jungle, but really the work, the ministry in South America, whether it's in Brazil or in Paraguay or in Argentina, is really about the people. And God really has given us a great opportunity as an organization, GEMS, to establish significant relationships that allow us to work side by side with national churches and national leaders. And it's through those churches that we're able to reach the communities for Jesus Christ. And so it's not like we throw you out onto the street and say, okay, go preach the gospel. No, what we do is we put you in a church situation, a church setting, and make that the place where you're able to interact and come in contact with the non-Christian community. You know, talking about the importance of reaching our community, our world for Christ, Colossians 4:3 is the passage that I selected for us this morning, and it says this, pray at the same time for us as well, that God will open up for us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. Now, the first word of this verse is so important. The first word of Colossians 4:3 is this, pray. Pray. You know, I as we begin this morning, I want to thank you, first of all, for your prayers on my behalf. You know, West LA has been one of the churches that supports my ministry with GEMS. And I would say that your prayers has really sustained me. This past year was very tough for me. I underwent 5 surgeries related to my dialysis treatments. I just had a 6th surgery this past month. So it's been a tough go the last 12 months. You know, Time Magazine in a November 5th article wrote about the prevalence of kidney disease. And I quote, it says, kidney disease is the 9th most common cause of death in the United States. And while Medicare covers the cost of dialysis for kidney failure, it's an exhausting treatment process with low survival rates. Okay, it's not very fun to have, you know, something wrong with you that's associated with the cause of death. But anyway, it's a pretty major thing in the United States. I undergo treatments 3 times a week, 4 hours each time. And I can affirm to you that it's both a tiring and a tiresome process. There are days that I just, you know, really have to push myself to go to receive my dialysis treatment. But even with that, I want to acknowledge to you that God has been good. With the assistance of 3 friends, 1 in Brazil, 1 in Paraguay, and 1 in Argentina, I'm able, with their help, to schedule my appointments in those countries when I'm preparing to leave for the field. I didn't know that was up there. Anyway, this past year, in 2019, God permitted me to travel to South America in January for a pastor's conference and in September for denominational meetings. Both of those events allowed me to meet with the maximum number of people in the shortest amount of time, and also not requiring me to travel a lot, especially in Brazil. Now, you may not realize it, but traveling in Brazil is a big deal. It's challenging due to its sheer size. A lot of people don't realize Brazil's so big. Brazil's geographic area is larger than the United States, excluding Alaska. So if you were to overlay the two countries, as you see here, they would overlap pretty easily. So you see the slide? You know, it's kind of hard to see, but you can imagine where the United States is. But that's where the Brazil is superimposed over the U.S. Looking at the next picture. This is really tough, sorry. But here you see the U.S. superimposed on South America, right? So Brazil actually extends beyond the bottom of the slide. So it's really a huge place. So if you can imagine, you know, trying to do all of this travel within the country, it's pretty challenging. And in fact, most of the Nikkei population where I work is in the southern part of the country. So that makes it a little bit easier. The Japanese are scattered throughout Brazil, but most of them are down in the south. So it really doesn't require me to travel so much. I would say that most of the Japanese, or most of the people who lived in the south, I mean, Brazil's so big, most of the people who live in the south have never been to the north, okay, if you can imagine. How many of you have ever been to the east coast? Raise your hand. Yeah, a lot of you have been to the east coast, right? So the idea of traveling to Washington or New York or wherever is maybe not such a big deal. But in Brazil, to go from the south in São Paulo up to the Amazon region, that's almost not done very much. So anyway, we're talking about a pretty big country. To reduce the wear and tear on me physically, GEMS allowed me this past year to bring on additional staff. And so what we did is GEMS hired is not quite the right word, but we brought on a new staff person. And we interviewed and approved the participation of a Brazilian pastor to serve as a national field coordinator. So what he becomes is he becomes Pastor John in Brazil, okay? So that I don't have to be going back and forth so much. He's taking my place and taking my responsibility. So this is him, the guy in the middle. So the guy on the left, you know, is who? Pastor Rick Schumann, all right? The guy on the right is me, and the guy in the middle is Pastor Maki Suzuki. And Pastor Maki is a pastor in the Holiness Conference in Brazil, and he's going to be assuming some of the responsibilities that I normally undertake when I'm in South America. One of the things practically he'll do is that when we send teams to South America, he's going to be the guy that meets them at the airport. That's really important. One of the things that GEMS doesn't want to do is send people to Brazil, have them arrive in São Paulo and go, what now? So we need someone that would be able to receive them, to direct them to the right bus or to the right plane, make sure they're getting to their destination, to their churches. So we're really excited about Pastor Maki coming into GEMS as kind of a volunteer coordinator for Brazil. You know, this is part of our challenge as GEMS, as we look to the future, is to be creative, to be thinking about how we can better accommodate not only our workers, but how can we better reach that country for Jesus Christ. And I think that creativity is necessary as well for West LA Holiness Church, to think about how is it that we can effectively and creatively reach our community for Christ. So I wanted to share that kind of as our theme for the morning, and just very quickly go over what I call the three C's. Am I doing this the right way? Is this pointing the right way? The three C's? Good. Okay. So we're going to do the three C's this morning from Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, that God would open up an opportunity for the Word of God to go out into this community. So the first C is this. The first C is that we start by making connections. So if you want to just take notes, that's fine. You don't have to. You can just kind of remember this. I'll give you a test at the end. Okay? So number one is making connections. All right? I've shared this perhaps with you before, but when I was serving in southern Brazil, I had the opportunity to preach at a local church. In fact, well, I won't say which church it was because it's not good to say which church it was. So I was at this church, and I preached the morning, and after the message and the service was over, I got to hang out with the young people. So it was about lunchtime. You know, when it's lunchtime, you get kind of hungry. And so I was talking to the young people, and they said, "Oh, Pastor John, you know, the Buddhist temple is across the street." Well, wow, okay, that's cool. And they're having their Obon today. So the Obon is their, you know, annual festival. And so my thing is, everything I know about Obon here in the United States, the one thing that I know, what's the one thing you know about Obon? If you're to think about it, what's the one thing you know about Obon? Say it. Food. That's right. They have good food. And so I said, hey, you know, I said to you, maybe five or six youth, I said, hey, let's go across the street and let's grab some food and meet some people. I mean, if you're going to make connections, if you're going to make, you have to make friends. And if you're going to make friends, you have to meet people, right? I mean, it just follows. So the deal was, is that, you know, I was grabbing these five kids and we're going to go across the street to the Buddhist temple and meet some people. And we got stopped by one of the leaders of the church. And he said, no. He said, no, can't do that. Because the temple is a place of spiritual darkness. So you can't go there. Now, you know, on the one hand, he's right. On the one hand, he's right. But my thought is that Jesus called us to be the light of the world, did he not? I mean, we sang about that this morning, that he's called us to take the light into the dark places. The way you dispel darkness is by bringing the light in. But, you know, at that point, I'm a visitor, and I need to be in submission to the leadership of the local church. So I said, okay, you know, I agreed I wouldn't go there. Now, I want to be clear here that I wasn't planning to go to the Buddhist temple to preach the gospel, to pass out gospel tracts, you know, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I mean, that would have been absolutely rude. What I was there to do was buy some food and meet some people. I think that's what we do in terms of making connections. My approach to reaching a community for Jesus Christ is very simple. It's very simple. It is, you start by buying lunch and saying hello. That's Pastor John's strategy. How many of you can do that? Buy lunch, say hello. Raise your hand. Buy lunch, say hello. You know, a lot of times we've been taught, in particular kinds of more Western American kind of strategies for evangelism, is that we have to go and be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We have to figure out how we can share the four spiritual laws. We have to go there and evangelize. And I go, no. You know, we have to take a step back from that and realize that our first step is really about making friends. Just making connections with people. You know, you never know. That person you meet at Obon, you never know when you're going to run into them at your doctor's office. Or you're sitting at the dentist waiting for your appointment and freaking out over that the sound of that drill. And you realize this guy that's sitting in the seat waiting next to you, who's also freaking out about waiting for the dentist, is a guy that you met at Obon. You understand why I'm saying that there's a way for us to make those connections and develop those friendships. But if we never get over to Obon, we'll never know who that person is, and we'll never know who that guy is sitting in the dentist chair next to us. God is wonderful about orchestrating these encounters with people. But he can't orchestrate encounters if we don't know who it is we're sitting next to. And so my first step is make connections. That's the first C. Okay? First C is what? Making connections. Good job. Number two, identify your community. Identify your community. Determine who it is that we want to reach. Who is it that West LA is trying to reach? Who's your, I don't like to use the word target, but target's kind of a good word because it speaks to what we want to do. We want to reach people for Christ. I have to tell you that the world today is ready for friendship. A U.gov poll revealed that the millennial generation is one of the loneliest generations in the history of mankind. Oops. Wow. Well, I get to show you these pictures until we get to the poll. Anyway, these are some of the photos of the stuff I do in South America. Okay, do you see Pastor John in that picture? He's kind of in the front there. I can see it really good. So all these people are looking at, yeah. Okay. And then I was just in September speaking to a small group in a city in the interior of Brazil, Presidente Prudente. Pastor Rick is behind me. This is in Asunción, Paraguay, working with Japanese. And this was an interesting meeting, because I spoke in English, and the girl in the greenish teal colored top is studying English in school. She's like 14, something like that. Anyway, she translated my Bible study from English to Japanese. Because even though it's Asunción, Paraguay, many of these people are fairly recent immigrants. In Paraguay, the immigration was happening in the late 1960s, early 1970s. So if you think about it, some of you were even alive during that time, right? In the 1970s. So these kids that you see here are actually second generation. They're Nisei. So you tend to think of Nisei as, a certain age. Well, Nisei here are, in their teens and 20s. And they're very fluent in Japanese. And so for those of you that maybe you think, well, I have nothing to offer to, work in South America, you do. If you speak Japanese, man, people want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ in Japanese. So this lovely family is the husband and wife in the back. This is their home, and that's where they host the church. The church is at their home. Here is, we're in Buenos Aires and doing leadership training for the leaders there. And so what's exciting about the leadership in Buenos Aires is they're pretty young. They're in their 30s and 40s. In this situation, I am speaking to them in English because it's Buenos Aires. And the guy to my left, the Argentinian-looking guy, is translating from English to Spanish. Okay, so we get it. God, makes it happen somehow. Whatever you got, God can make it work. And then this group here, this is the Issei group in Argentina. Okay, so again, in the U.S., I think Isseis practically don't exist anymore. I mean, there's the new Issei, the recent immigrants, but the older kind of pioneer Issei, they're pretty much all gone. But in Argentina, they still are there. Many of them, their fluency, of course, in Japanese is very, very high, 100%. Their fluency in Spanish is probably about 30%. So kind of like here, in terms of English. So I had the chance to preach to this group. And who was my interpreter? I don't see my interpreter there. Anyway, it's okay. Okay, so we're talking about that poll, right? The U.gov poll that says that 30% of millennials, these are young adults who've come of age at the turn of the century. So in the year 2000, they are, you know, they're hitting their 20s and 30s. So millennials, 30% are saying that they are feeling lonely most of the time. Okay? Now let me tell you something. I think the church can be a family to those who struggle with loneliness, and not just with millennials, but with college students who are living away from home. It might be the man or woman who lost their spouse after 40 years of marriage. It might be a single parent or a divorced person who's struggling all alone. You know, I have a good friend. He attends a church, and I'm not going to say which, but it's here in L.A. His name's David. Let's say his name's David. And David recently became a widow. David is probably 37, and he just became a widow. Can you imagine losing your spouse, and you're only 37 years old? And he has two kids. He has a kid who's 11 and a girl who's 6. Okay, so young dad, very young children. In that particular morning worship service, we're sitting together, and they made two announcements, you know, like they do here. And they said, you know, we've got some great stuff going on in the church, and we want to invite you to come. And the first announcement was about a couple's date night. Couple's date night. Now, many of you would just think, oh, that's nice. But if you're a man who's just lost his wife, you following me here? How a couple's date night would just hit you right in the heart. And the very next announcement was about a mother-daughter lunch. Are you tracking with me here? Mother-daughter lunch for a dad who lost his wife. One of the things that I think, and not to say these things aren't necessary, but I think the church really needs to broaden its scope and probably think a little bit more about who is it that's in the congregation and who is it that we're trying to reach. Because if we do mother-daughter lunches for dads who are 37 and lost their wife, we're going to lose those dads. And so it's very important for us to kind of broaden our scope and realize that within our modern culture and society, we need to broaden a sense of who it is we're wanting to reach for Jesus Christ. So that's what it means, I think, to identify your community. Who it is, who is it that's out there that we want to reach for Jesus Christ? How is it that we're going to shape the ministry of West LA Holiness Church in order to better reach our community? And the other thing is really to deal with our own maybe ingrown prejudice about what the church needs to look like. Like, do we only take married people? Are the doors closed for people who are divorced or single or who have kids and are unmarried? You know what I mean? How the world is shaped and formed right now is kind of different from how the church looks. In order for the church to be able to really effectively reach our community for Christ, we really need to think about what the community looks like and how we're going to reach them for Jesus Christ. And if we have the idea that only certain people are allowed in this church, we're going to have a problem. You understand what I'm saying here? We need to broaden, in a sense, who it is we're wanting to reach. The first C is what we need to do. What we need to make connections. The second C is that we have to identify our community. Good job. You guys are excellent. Number three. Don't neglect the Great Commission. Don't neglect the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? What the Great Commission looks like is this. If you recognize it, just kind of just raise your hand. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, George Barna did some statistics. Now, George Barna is well known as kind of the Gallup poll guy of the Christian community. He does religious kind of polls. And he did a poll back in 2018 where he asked churchgoers in the United States, have you heard of the Great Commission? Okay? So the Great Commission is that passage of Scripture in Matthew 28 that we just read. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. That passage of Scripture, can you see it okay? Okay. So this was the answer to the poll. Have you heard of the Great Commission? Okay. So 6% said, I'm not sure. 17% said, yes, I know what it is, and it means this. 25% said, yes, but I really can't remember what the exact meaning of it is. And 51% said, no, I never heard of it. Okay, we're not talking about, Americans in general. I can believe the poll if it's just regular random guys you meet in the street. We're talking about people in church. 51% never heard of the Great Commission. One of the things that's, I think, very important for us is to be reminded again of the calling of Jesus Christ on our lives to make Jesus Christ known, not only in our communities, but in our world. In order to prevent ourselves from becoming too ingrown or too inwardly focused, I think we need to take the opportunity to serve God in missions. This means that we trust God beyond the normal scope of our Christian experience. I have to appreciate, was it Miyuki? Is she not here? Miyuki said, I was scared to go to Winter Vision. Why? Oh, she's here? She's hiding? Mizuki, sorry. That's close. Sorry, Mizuki. She said, I'm not sure I'm going to know anybody. I didn't know about what to pack. These things. These are very normal kinds of anxieties you have. But you know what she did? She got on the bus. Man, I give you applaud you for that. Because I know there are kids that will be, man, this is really too much for me to handle. I'm not getting on the bus. And I think a lot of us kind of feel the same way about missions and about going overseas. We have a lot of anxieties about what am I going to face there? What's going to happen there? I don't know what I'm going to face. I don't know, about whether the people are going to like me or whether, what the food's going to be like. And so we never get on the bus. And I want to say to you that Jesus said, don't worry about the bus. Go and make disciples of all nations. And this morning, if you have an ability to speak Japanese, I'm telling you, go to Paraguay. I'll set it up for you. If you're, worried about coronavirus, I just checked the map this morning. There's no coronavirus in South America, none in Brazil, none in Argentina, none in Paraguay. So let's go, The idea, nonetheless, is I want to kind of help you remove those obstacles in your thinking about serving the Lord overseas, and especially in South America? How are we investing our lives? What are we investing in? What are the things that are important to us? You know, as we close, I wanted to share with you a brief video of a conclusion of a well-known film, Schindler's List. I'm sure most of you have heard of that film. Well, Schindler was the man who was able to save about 1,200 Jewish people by employing them in his factory. But as he comes to the end of his time, the Nazis are beginning to, they're being overcome. He comes to kind of the end of his time as the employer of this factory, and he realizes the significance of his preferences and his priorities and how he could have chosen better. Let's look at the video.
Idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Good, what about this car? Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. People. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. You would have given me 2 for at least 1. You would have given me 1 more. 1 more person. I could have got 1 poor person, and I didn't. And I didn't.
That's quite a moving clip, isn't it? I kind of tweaked the meaning of that a bit, because you know a lot of times we make choices and we have preferences in our lives that really don't reflect our commitment to the Great Commission, to making Jesus Christ known in the nations. And that's part of the reason I'm here, really. I mean, I love seeing you as, you know, kind of my former congregation, but also to understand that God has called us to a greater purpose, to a higher purpose, and that perhaps, you know, you might consider, reflect upon what investments you want to make for the cause of Christ. And I want to encourage you, I'm here specifically about our, you know, our summer program for South America this year. I don't know really how much longer I'm going to be able to be involved with GEMS as their director, but nonetheless, the opportunity for you still remains. So if God might be touching your heart about the opportunity to serve him in some way in South America, chat with me afterwards, and I'd like to hook you up with an opportunity to serve him, okay? So anyway, let's close in prayer. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you this morning. It's good to see you all. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to be able to be your messenger today and to number one, to thank these men and women for their support and prayers over the years, but also, Father, to encourage them to consider their great part in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Lord, you've called us to make disciples, not only in our immediate surroundings, but, Father, in the world around us. There are so many who are lost, so many who just their end is certain without Jesus Christ. And so, God, we want to make the opportunity available for them to hear the good news, the gospel. So, Father, if there is someone here that you would invite to go, would you touch their hearts? Would you invite them more clearly to make an investment of their time this summer? Thank you, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.